So I didn't even realize it wasn't on. Nobody told me, huh? Guess I just have a loud mouth, huh? Thank y'all. No, but so what was going on is Laodicea is getting all this water in, and they can't use it. So Laodicea is having a problem. They are the primary city in their area, and now people can't even go there because they aren't able to get water. And water is very important. We know we need water for cooking, cleaning, several different things. But Laodicea is having a problem, right? And so let's talk about this here. Christianity, if false, it is of no importance. If true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. This is the mindset that the Laodiceans was trying to express to the rest of the area. Laodiceans was expressing that, hey, listen, we are very important. If you're coming here, it's because you need us. If you're coming here, it's because we are of value. And today we're going to talk about this quote a lot, you know, because we can sometimes be like the Laodicean church, and Christianity can sometimes be of lesser importance. But like this quote says, you know what? If Christianity is true, you know what? It's of every importance. If what we're doing is true, there's nothing more important than what we're doing. If it's not true, you know, it's of no importance. You know, it's like the mud outside to us right now has no use for me. But one thing it cannot be moderately important. So in other words, it can't just be a place we come to on Sundays and Wednesdays and say, hey, you know, it's something to do. I'll do it to kill time. Christianity cannot be that. And we as Christians cannot live that way. Right? So let's jump into the scriptures. If you would turn with me over to Revelation chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. In Revelation 3, it says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. Isn't that scary? God knows everything about us. The stuff that we try to hide, the stuff that we think nobody else knows, God knows our deeds. He says that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Wow. God says, because we are neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And I think sometimes the life we live can make God nauseated. It's just like having food that's lukewarm. It's so susceptible to germs or to bacteria getting into it. And it'll make you sick if you eat it. And I know for a fact, because I've done it several times. I remember the last time I did it, we had the Super Bowl. And so my wife made this cheese dip. And, you know, it's the cheese and nachos. And we killed it. And so there's a little bit left. However, we left it out. And so, yeah, I know, we left it out. But because it's so good, you know how you're just like, I'm going to take a chance with this one, though. And you see it, and it's just kind of clumped up, and you're like, this might not be the best thing to do, but where are those chips? And before you know it, you tearing it up. And you pay the price for it later, which I did. And I don't know what bacteria was in there, but I know there had to be something in there, because the first time I ate it, it didn't do that to my stomach. The second time I ate it, it's like, oh, gosh. But that's what happens. I think sometimes we can nauseate God with the life we live. Have we let contaminants get in our life and affect us to the point of, man, this is not what God created. I'm not the person that I should be. You know, but what does lukewarm really look like? I think for a lot of us, this is what lukewarm looks like. I think a lot of times we read our Bible, we come to church, we're here on Sundays, we're here on Wednesdays, we hear great messages, we talk about our relationships with each other, and then we do this. But I'm not going to listen to it. I'll be here, but I'm not going to listen. And when we decide to take that stance of, well, I'm not going to listen. I read this Bible. I know what it says I should do, but I'm not going to listen to it. I think this is what happened. We start becoming lukewarm, and we start allowing contaminants to get in there that shouldn't be in there. We start allowing the world to influence us instead of God's word. And then we look up and we are like, what happened? What happened? Why aren't people coming to church on Wednesday nights? Why aren't people giving and serving the way the Bible calls us to? What happened? What happened is we allow contaminants to get in there and make God's word not as effective as it should be. See, with God's word, I think three things should be happening with us. I think with God's word, either we're going to be on fire, we're going to read God's word, and we're going to be like, you know what? Man, I can't wait to put this into practice. Or we're going to read God's word and say, this is not for me. And then the most scariest one, we're going to read God's word and we're going to play church. We're going to come to church and we are going to be dressed and looking good and how you doing, brother and sister so-and-so, and great to see you and how the kids, and we'll play church. We will not put into practice the things that God intends for us to put into practice. And that is very scary. Because I don't know about you, I don't want to make God nauseated. You know, I think when it comes to being lukewarm, I think we have to take a really good look in the mirror and ask ourselves, man, am I on fire for Christ? Am I doing this because it's my heart, or am I doing this because someone's asked me to do it? Am I doing this because I know I'm supposed to go to church? Because the Bible clearly says, God says he'd rather you be cold than to be a pretender. The second thing, I think with God's word, if you turn over to Revelation 3 with me in verse 17, and we'll stay here for the most part of it. I'm going to back up. I'm going to start in 16. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I want to stop right there for a second. God says, verse 16, because you are lukewarm, which means at some point we've made a decision to stop obeying the Bible, right? We've made a decision to pick and choose what we're going to take out of the Bible. And God says, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That's the same thing that happened to me when I was telling you guys about that Super Bowl food, because it wasn't cold, it was still a little warm, but it wasn't hot like it should have been. It was lukewarm, and it made me sick. I think our lives can be that way to God sometimes, right? I think sometimes God says, hey, Atlanta Church of Christ here in Gwinnett, because you guys have become lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. But are we doing this? I think we need to listen to what God is saying to Laodicea church, because I think some of these same principles apply to us today. God said, verse 17, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Now, this is what was going on in the Laodicean church. So now, remind you, God wrote this to the Colossian church. And the same translation, he has to remind these guys, all the same thing that Laodicea took pride in. Look at what God is saying to them. God is telling them, wait a minute. You guys think you're rich because you're the financial center of the world. You guys think you're clothed finely because you make this fine black wool. God says, wait a minute. I counsel you to buy from me. God is saying, I urge you to stop and come to me. See, one of the things that happen when we become spiritually lukewarm is there is an indifference of deadly influence. And so what happens is we allow certain things to influence us, right? We allow TV, social media. We allow what people wear to influence us. Oh, if you don't dress like this, and it's true, because, and I think we all, to some extent, are guilty of it. When you meet somebody for the first time, what do? You look and you see how they're dressed, right? Oh, this person has on a shirt and tie, or this person has on a suit, or they're dressed up, so they must be of some importance. Or this person, their clothes aren't that clean, or this person is this or that. Oh, well, maybe they aren't as important. Do we do that in God's church? Because here he's having to counsel these guys on these exact same things. And it's easy to take pride in what type of house you live in, what type of car you drive, what type of job you have. These are things that it's easy to take pride in. And God has to keep reminding the Laodicean church, hey, wait a minute. You know what? You don't even realize you are naked, pitiful, poor, and blind. Now, I guarantee you couldn't tell the Laodicean church any of that stuff, that I'm not naked, I'm not poor. I have a good job. I drive a nice car. I have a nice house. My kids are well-dressed. Hey, when the new Jordans come out, they get the first pair. They'll stay in line. We'll stay in line to get Jordans. Hours. We'll stay in line to get movie tickets just so we can say we're the first one to do it, right? You know, we get new cars, and these are the things that makes us feel good. But God is saying here, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy gold refined. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich. God is saying the only way, guys, we're going to become rich, it's not because of the jobs we have or the cars we drive. It's going to be because of our relationship with him. That's how we're going to become rich. He says, so you can become rich and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness. It's not the Jordans or the new shoes or all that stuff, the fancy suits. It's not any of that stuff. And God is reminding the church here, that's not what it's about. It's about your relationship with me. He says, and salve to put on your eyes. I think God just gave them a gut punch there. Like, man, these guys were the creator of salve. So, God, how are you going to tell me something that I created? And God is like, hey, you guys want to see clearly? Man, you need to get salve from me. And where do we get that? We get it from right here. And he had to remind these guys, they were taking pride in all the wrong things. And God is like, no. Let's back up. Stop. And church, I implore us, I pray that we don't get to a point in our walk, in our relationship with God, that we take so much pride in other things that we forget what's most important. Because it's easy to do that. It is very easy to do that. You know, God says that being lukewarm is wrong. But I think that there's even three things worse than being lukewarm. The Bible is clear when it talks about this. I think the three things that's worse than not making a decision to follow God wholeheartedly? The first one is, the Bible talks about in 1 Peter 2, chapter 20, if you decide to make a decision to follow God and then stop and then you quit, the Bible says you are worse off than you were in the beginning. It's better that you never even started it, right? That's the first one. I think the second one is in Hebrews 10:25. The Bible says if you deliberately keep on sinning after you've received the knowledge of the truth. So in other words, after you've read God's word and you know what's right and you know what's wrong, you deliberately make decisions to go out and sin. The Bible says, man, you are worse off. And I think the last one is just what we read in Revelations chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, man, if you become lukewarm, God will spit you out of his mouth. Now, I don't know about you, but I pray that none of us falls into any of those three. I don't want God to spit me out of his mouth. You know, a lukewarm Christian can do more damage to a church than a non-Christian. A lukewarm Christian can send out the message of hypocrisy, can send out the message of deceit, can send out the message of dissension, create factions. And I think God saw this in the Laodicea church. And that's why it was so important that he addressed it, because they had a lot of great things going for them. And here, and I'm not saying the church here is Laodicea. I just want us to be aware that, you know what? I'm sure these guys, this church in Laodicea, didn't start off being that way. That wasn't their intent when they started the church there. But over time, some things happened. And God had to bring it back to their attention. I think the last thing is that there's a sin of deception when you're lukewarm. When you're lukewarm, it's easy to be deceived, that you are somewhere that you're really not. It's easy to be deceived that maybe you're something that you're really not. And God makes it so clear, you know, to us so many times. You know, I love when our family, you know, we get together for our family time. And, you know, every Monday night. And it's so great because as we sit down and have dinner, you know, my wife, my son and my daughter, we just talk about everything. And for those of you that have kids, you know, man, when they get full, there's no telling what's coming out of their mouth. And so you ask questions. Hey, so what do you think mom and dad can work on and change? And you ask that question cringing because you know, oh, boy, I don't know what's going to be said here. And you ask it cringing. But you ask it. And sometimes, you know, we're family. I'll share with you guys. Sometimes we hear some hard things, things that, man, we don't want to hear. Sometimes we hear things like, you yell and fuss too much. You aren't considerate all the time. You aren't loving all the time. Now, understand, just as a father, there's a certain level of pride that wells up, like, Joker, I'm saying it because you acting up. I'm doing what I'm doing because of you. Then there is the minister in me that hears, golly, man, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I hope my kids aren't saying this to other people out there in the church. And the church don't think I'm not loving my family because I love them. I take care of them. I feed them. So you have all these things going through your head, right? And you're thinking, oh, man, who did they? I know if anybody said it was Jada, you know. And that's what I'm thinking, you know. And this is what you'll be thinking. But I'm like, you know what? Wait a minute. I need to hear that because I can have a false sense of where I really am. I can think I'm in a place that I'm really not. How about you? I love the relationships that I have in the church because people tell me when I'm not close to God. People tell me when, hey, I have a blind spot here. Maybe I'm not loving my wife the way I need to be loving. Maybe I'm not loving my kids. Maybe I'm not loving some of you the way God calls me to love. But how do I respond to that? Now, I'll admit, sometimes it's a, oh, man. But you know what? I take to heart. I don't do this. Because I don't want to get lukewarm. And my prayer is that each and every one of you not do that as well. That you guys, and if you have, please take those fingers out of your ears and listen to what God is saying through other people. Ask yourself, what type of relationships do I have? Because here's the deal. Paul needed this church to hear that because there were some things that he'd seen there. There are some things he'd heard about there. And so he loved them enough to say the hard stuff. Or Jesus loved them enough to say the hard stuff. And so Jesus didn't love those guys in Laodicea more than he loves us. He says the same thing to us. He says this, you know, the scripture in Hebrews talks about, you know, how, man, God disciplines for our own good because he loves us. And so sometimes in love, we have to hear hard things. It's not always all hunky-dory. You know, I grew up getting picked on. There was this one particular name. They used to call me Nappy William. I know. They just didn't see the curls underneath the top. Because I promise you, there was curls there. And man, you know, they would call me that name and laugh. And some of them still to this day call me that name, even though I don't have hair. But I was called that by my sisters and my brothers. This wasn't even outsiders, right? So if family can hurt you and get on your skin, imagine what the rest of the world can do, right? So sometimes, and it did lead me to, you know, to trying to get an S curl and all that. And I know I should have showed y'all some of the pictures, but we want y'all to come back next week. But I'm telling you, I did have a good grade of hair, whether y'all believe it or not. I think it was probably when I was born, but there was a good grade at one point. But I say all that to say that sometimes we can deceive ourselves. You know, as hard as it was for them to call me Nappy William and all that, I actually thought I looked good. I was cool. I thought everything was together. But they saw something that I didn't see. Right? And so I guess God must have saw it too because he saw fit to take away the rest of it. But I say all that to say, who's in your life telling you about your blind spots? Or are you allowing people to be in your life to tell you about the blind spots? Or do you see yourself a certain way? You know, here it says in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. God is telling us, church, hey, there are some things that we need to be getting from God, not from the world. See, we can go buy the best clothes, get the best hairdos, put on the best makeup, but God is like, man, there are some things you need from me. There are some things I counsel you to get from me. And as a church, I pray that we are doing that. I want to close out here in Revelations 3, starting in 19 and 22. Because a lot of times, because we don't realize the condition that we're in, we can go on for years like that. And what we do and say affects so many people. Whether you say hello or whether you not say hello, believe it or not, it's going to affect somebody. Whether you say I love you or whether you don't say I love you, it's going to affect some people. Verse 19, the Bible says, the Bible reads, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my word, anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." I want to stop right there. God says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline." The church, just like in Laodicea, was a feel-good church. That's one part. Every church should be warm and inviting and loving. But there should also be discipline happening in church as well. God should be disciplining us. God should be helping us to grow in our character, in our love, in our unity. But it's up to us to allow God to discipline us in those ways. And how does he discipline us in those ways? I think sometimes he allows people to preach messages. I think sometimes God puts individual people in your life to tell you certain things. I think God sometimes even uses people who don't go to our church to help us with this. But the question is, are we listening? Are you listening? "To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying." God is very, very serious about this. I think God is trying to help us to wake up this morning to get revived. I think God is telling us, hey, listen, you guys don't have to be this way. You guys don't have to be lukewarm. You can make a decision this morning to get on fire for God. You can make a decision today that, you know what, I'm going to start reading my Bible and obeying it. I'm not just going to read it. I'm not going to pretend to play church anymore. I'm not just going to keep coming to church on Sundays or Wednesdays or whenever I decide to come. I'm going to be committed to when the body meets, I'm going to be right there with the body. I'm going to be fired up and zealous for God as I've ever been. You know, there were seven churches that God wrote letters to. And this morning as we close, I want you guys to think, if God had to write our church a letter, what would he say? I think it would say something like this. "To the church in Gwinnett that meets in Meadow Creek Auditorium, I know your deeds. I know that you love me tremendously. I know you guys want to do what's right. But there's one thing I hold against you as well. You guys have stopped doing the things you did at first. You guys are honoring me with your mouth, but I'm looking for your heart. You guys are slowly becoming lukewarm. There's many I see on Sunday that I don't see on Wednesdays. And I want to see all of you." I think God is calling us higher. I think God is calling us out of our mediocrity. I think God is calling us out of our comfort zone. I think God is calling us to a level of love that he's been bestowing on us from day one. So church, my prayer is that we listen to what God is saying. That we don't just read his Bible and do nothing about it. We read it and allow it to change our hearts. Amen. So this morning, I thank you so much for your time, for your appreciation. I thank all of you who are out visiting, who've come to see your grandkids or nieces and nephews graduate. We thank you. We pray that you guys will be back again with us soon. Again, I love you guys, and to God be the glory.
Wow. If God wrote a letter to us, I think, well, I know that we are here because God has called us here today. And you heard the letter. It didn't say Gwinnett Church, but you heard God's word this morning. You know, and I'm just thinking about how much we can reflect, but hoping that it's not just a reflection that we do, but that we react, that we no longer linger in the lukewarm area, but that we're extremely hot, that it's contagious. That is what God is calling us to do, and that's what the message that was put on Tony's heart, and we thank you for that. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your words. Sometimes it's not fun to hear. Sometimes it's not warm and fuzzy. But God, it's the truth. And I pray, God, for our hearts that you would first strengthen us. Let us know that you love us. Remind us every day as we go about our days that you do love us. Because you really want us to get on fire. You really want us to be contagious with the love that you've shown us through your son and through the sacrifice of his life. And I pray, God, that not only this church will catch on fire, but, Father, all the churches throughout this region, throughout this world, will catch fire for your name. We thank you so much for this honor that we serve. We had this opportunity to worship you, and I pray that our lives will continue to reflect that. We thank you and pray all this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.